Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, September 25th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 8, the first paragraph, that starts with, "No words can tell," reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Lois P., 12 Traditions, Kathy S. The reader of the text will be Shelley E. Reading page 164 is Sherry M., and our backup reader this morning is Jordan L. The reference numbers for Thursday, September 24th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting was 15,430. That's 15430. And for this morning, Friday, September 25th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 15,432. That's 15432. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Lisa E.S., and Betsy H. will do our announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members, and we are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Lois P. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Lois.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you. This is Lois P., recovered in New York and very grateful. Here are the steps which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, Dawn, for the opportunity to do service, and thank you for your wonderful service today. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Lois P. And now I'll ask Kathy S. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Dawn. This is Kathy S., recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, Don, for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Kathy S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speaker's, should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 8, the first paragraph, starting with, "No words can tell." We'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I will now ask Shelley E. to begin reading. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning. Page 8, Big Book. No words can tell of the loneliness and despair I found in that bitter morass of self-pity. Quicksand stretched around me in all directions. I'd met my match. I'd been overwhelmed. Alcohol was my master. Such an incredible paragraph about powerlessness. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in northern Michigan. And I was thrilled to be able to read this paragraph. Such descriptive words that certainly described the point at which I found myself in my disease. At my lowest point, I was lonely, I was desperate, and I was overwhelmed. At that point, I knew everything about weight loss, dieting, and yet I couldn't get off that merry-go-round. I felt like I was going round and round on the merry-go-round, smiling and waving as my life passed me by in a blur, and I mean a blur. And it was in that blur and that disconnection with life that brought me into the room. And it was there I soon realized that food was my master. I had no idea. And I was up to my neck, drowning in that quicksand they mentioned. I'm grateful I was able to reach out through that fog. I stepped out on a limb. I worked the steps, and I found a safety net in my higher power, who, as long as I let him in, every minute of my day carries me through every day. Thank you for letting me share. I'm Shelley E., and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Shelley E. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So at this time, we open up the lines, and we ask for your first name and initial. Who would like to share this morning?
Christina J.
Christina.
Johan N.
Roz G.
Johan N. Roz G.
Janice K.
I didn't quite get that.
Janice K.
Oh, Janice K. Very good. Thank you. have one more.
Sherry K.
Mary B.
Sherry K. B.
Mary
and
C.
Mary G. Very good. Okay, we're going to start with Christina J., followed by Johan N., and if you would please announce the state or country that you're calling from so those who wish to from our member list might be able to contact you. Good morning, Christina J.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. Appreciate everybody on the line today and looking forward to hearing the shares on this. So to me, Bill has reached a place of complete and utter hopelessness. And he's actually surrendered to the truth of step one here. He's met his match. And this is a big statement for him because he's a pretty egotistical guy. He's had success in life, but this is his match and turns into his master. Complete powerlessness over alcohol, for me over food, over the allergy of the body. It owns him from skin to bone and back again. And the food owned me, every brain cell in my head. I stayed on a horrible roller coaster of loneliness and despair for decades. I would get high on a new diet and then back into the quicksand with food. I remember the exact moment I couldn't do diets anymore. I had started OptiFast, which is a fasting, low-calorie protein shake routine put on through a hospital. Started it for the fourth time shortly after my second husband died in 2004. And the loneliness and despair I felt around losing him was unbearable. Felt immense deprivation of the loss, and I just couldn't do another diet of deprivation. I needed nurturance, love, and comfort. So back to the food I went, because I had nothing else at that time. I started working a plan with someone who had never been an overeater, and she said, well, why don't you just have, you know, a candy bar at lunch after your lunch? It's not going to hurt you. So I started that routine, and of course I was triggering the allergy left and right. I didn't get the OA thing at all. But at that time, you know, I finally gave up to surrender of the master, you know, to the master, which was the food and the truth of step one. I didn't even know I was giving up to it. But it was a start towards recovery. Although the journey from there until now has been like a turtle crossing the Sahara because I had more attempts at controlling the food to go through, which all failed. And as we see and we have seen, Bill goes through that too. Today, after the long journey to now, including many rooms of OA, finding vision and the relapse cycles I went through, I finally have reached what I feel in my heart is a true state of recovery. Door number one or door number two? Powerlessness. Am I going to really accept that I'm powerlessness? That I'm powerless? Sorry. Or am I going to accept the hand of someone that's going to help pull me out of the quicksand, which ends up being God's hand in the end? God's grace is real. He sees our honest efforts, and one day we step to the shore of freedom. And then it's up to us to not get back in the boat and try to flash around in the water with the food again. Let me tell you something. If you're overwhelmed, miserable, lost, and lonely, and feel completely hopeless today, you're ready to begin. And as Dr. Silkworth says, you may come to scoff, but I hope you remain to pray. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Christina J. Now we'll have Johan N., and if you'd tell us where you're calling from. Good morning, Johan.
Good morning. Hi, this is Johan N. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm calling in from Falun in Sweden. This morning. Thank you so much for service and for the share so far and for coming shares. I'm so grateful to be here. And this is a great, great paragraph. And like somebody said earlier about the powerlessness that I have when it comes to food. And I can relate so much to Bill's feelings here about loneliness and despair and self-pity and the quicksand that stretched around me in all directions. And I was just painting myself into a corner with this disease and the food. And food was my master because that was the only solution that I had. I had recovered from alcohol and drugs years earlier. And with that, the food just got worse and worse. And the food was my master because that was my solution. So when I came to OA, I'd already lost almost all my excess weight. So I didn't come to OA for vanity. I came straight up for sanity. I came to OA for sanity because I was insane. I was driving myself and everybody around me, my whole family, insane with this. But when I came to OA and when I fully committed to the program, when I worked the steps really fast, I got a spiritual experience and the obsession was lifted from me overnight. It was a miracle. And today I live as a free man. I work every day in step 10, 11, and 12 to the best of my ability. Because I'm recovered, I'm not cured. I need to do every day what I need to do to stay recovered, so I can have this conscious contact with God. Because I didn't get myself recovered. No way. This is all God, and the steps is the tool that takes me to this connection with my higher power, with God. And today I walk with that connection. And when I lose it, it's time for a 10th step. And I need to do my 11th step every morning and every night, and work intensive with others and intensive in step 12. And when I do all this, I live happy, joyous, and free. And that I do today. So I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for these meetings as well. That has been like really a road to recovery for me. And so thank you. And I pass.
Thank you, Johan. And now we'll have Roz G share with us, followed by Janice K. Good morning, Roz.
Good morning. My name is Roz G, and I'm a recovered compulsive eater from Palmdale, California. And I'd like to talk about master. Coming to a point of admitting that certain ingredients in foods are my master was hard and took, 2002 I came into OA, and I've been abstinent a year, 2020, something like 18 years, 17 years, something like that. I'm not good at math. I always need a calculator. But anyway, even if it's elementary, which I accept about the way I think about numbers, that's how long it took me to accept the mastership of some ingredients of food. And I've heard over the years in different meetings here and there that when you get into the ring with a gorilla, the gorilla is going to win. Like, say you want to dance with a gorilla or you want to box with the gorilla. And you get into the ring and the gorilla is going to win every time. As with humans, without a weapon, then I'm going to lose because the gorilla's going to overpower me every time. And okay, cookies, chocolate, macaroni and cheese, those are my top three binge foods. Saltine crackers, those foods are gorillas. But more importantly, those foods contain ingredients that are the gorillas in my life. They are the master. They're going to win. But for years, and you know, and it was like it says in the book, okay, it's going to be different this time. Let me show you how. And that came through the stubbornness of my mind, the complete lack of awareness of what disease I have, and me trying to wrestle with those ingredients. And guess what? I lost every single time. Humility, prayer, honesty, action, working with others brings me to a point of understanding that and taking action on it and asking God, you know, getting hand in hand with the God of my understanding to help me understand that every day. I can shop at the Whole Wheatery. Well, it's called the Whole Wheatery here. It's like a Whole Foods place. And I can shop there all I want. And I can still get into this disease because I used to look at vegan pies and vegan cookies. And that's BS. It all has the same ingredient. Thank you. I'm going to wrap by saying it all has the same ingredient. And those are the masters which will win every time. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Janice K. And now we'll have Sherry B. followed by Mary G. Good morning, Sherry. And if you could tell us where you're from. Star one, Sherry.
Are you talking about Sherry K.B.?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm not used to hearing Sherry B.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Thanks, Don. Good morning. I'm Sherry K.B. in Northern California, a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Dawn, and everybody on the line, and thank you, Team Friday. You know, I just, I couldn't wait to talk about this paragraph because it's one of my favorites, because this, to me, is the perfect definition of powerlessness. This was very sought out and thought out, this paragraph. It's so small, but it is so big, because the way the words are chosen here to me, loneliness and despair, words can't tell. You can't even describe how bad it is. You know, they're beyond words. When he talks about quicksand and morass of self-pity, you know, I know a lot of people have talked about the food, but what I want to talk about, what goes on between my ears, that pride and that ego of not asking for help, of being stuck in the bondage of self, and how when it talks about the definition of like quicksand, it says that it's an entry can be quick, but removal is difficult or impossible, and that with it forms a soft mask, and then it easily gives way and engulfs anything resting in its surface. So, you know, I might dip my toe into something, either in my face down on my emotions or the food, and you know what? It's already pulled me in, and I don't even know it. And that's what is perfect in description of this. And then the morass is something that traps and confuses or impedes. So, yeah, that's what my disease does. It traps me. It confuses me. I get into self-pity. I get into the bedevilments. You know, it's not just the food, it's that emotional stuff, because the food is just a symptom of a greater problem, and my problem is me. That's it. It's my ego, it's my pride, it's all of that, because you know what? With doing that kind of behavior, I don't invite God into any of this. When I'm in self-pity, I'm in the bondage of self and pride and ego, I'm not thinking about God. I'm trying to think about how Sherry can figure it out. And you know what? Figuring it out isn't one of my slogans anymore. And just thinking that, you know, my pride and ego, it's too scary to ask for help, or, you know, that my pride gets in the way when I really need an outreach call or make that call. Instead, I need to make that outreach call. I need to turn to God. I need that help, because if not, and I also think on the humor side of it is, like, I grew up watching reruns of Tarzan movies. And the bad guys always got in the quicksand, and they could never get out. And that reminds me of my disease. I can never get out of my disease alone. I have to stretch my hand out and ask for help, ask God for help, and ask all of you for help. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sherry K.B. And now we'll have Mary G. share with us this morning, and then we'll open up the line. So good morning, Mary G.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for your service this morning, and what a great paragraph. I was sitting there just listening, reading this and listening to the shares and just going, oh gosh, self-pity. You know, a bitter morass of self-pity just it makes me think of quicksand. Self-pity for me was such a trap. I just, you know, would get into that, why is this happening to me? This shouldn't be happening to me. I deserve something better. Why do I have struggle with food? Why do I have to watch what I'm eating? Why do I always have to be concerned about it? And for me, that was the quicksand. It just kept grabbing me and grabbing me and grabbing me. And one of the things that I didn't know until I put down my alcoholic foods was the fact that, that I didn't know that, you know, alcohol was, or, you know, sugar or whatever my alcoholic foods are, was my master. I just didn't know that. You know, I had a very strong relationship with my higher power. I thought, you know, I knew what a spiritual awakening was. My problem was that I was so spiritually arrogant that I couldn't see it. And self-pity was the slippery slope that got me back to eating so often. And like the previous share, you know, that quicksand just got hold of me and I got stuck. I literally got stuck. I could not get out until I was beaten down and surrendered again to my true master, to my true higher power, and, you know, wanted to face the reality of, you know, being able to, you know, surrender, which, you know, I just had to look that word up recently, and it says just stop fighting and admit defeat. You know, that was really hard for me, and self-pity was one of the things that kept me in that struggle for a long, long time, even in the room. You know, I kept thinking, when am I ever going to be normal? That's what I wanted. I wanted to be a normal eater. And it wasn't until I actually could put down the foods, just trying it because I didn't really believe it would work for me. And that mental obsession, that food fog that I had heard mentioned, but I didn't have a clue what that really was until I got out of it. And then I could look back and go, oh my gosh, you know, I was overwhelmed. I had met my match. You know, there was no way that I was ever going to be a normal eater. And I accept that today. And I'm so grateful. And thank you all for sharing and allowing me to share. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Mary G. And I'm thinking I may have missed Janice K. So if I did, I have my sincerest apologies. We'll take you up first in line, Janice. I'm so sorry about that. And we'll now open up the lines. Although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Amy N.
Amy N.
Ann B.
Ann B.
Lauren H.
Lauren H. And we'll take one more. All right, well, we'll hold off there. All right, Janice K., would you share with us this morning, please, followed by Amy N.?
Thank you so much. This is Janice K. in Oregon. To me, this paragraph speaks to pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. And the comparison of that to a successfully executed abstinence is huge. And I'm hearing other people, you know, the point I wanted to make this morning is that when we finally get to 10, 11, and 12, abstinence can become a very joyful thing because it's the expression of the presence of a higher power in our life. I remember years ago, I would wake up with what I used to call a heavy heart. I would wake up in the morning and already be sad because I knew food was going to win. A small case of this disease, I have a really heavy one, and I have utterly no ability, I have a very limited ability to control food. I have to depend on my higher power for that. So the point I wanted to make is something that I've heard other people saying. I've heard words like nurturance, love, comfort, gratitude, miraculous, freedom. And I've also heard lost, alone, despair about this paragraph. I am grateful to all of you and to a power greater than myself that I can pick which side of the divide I'm on. And I am willing to go to any length to stay there. Thank you so much for listening. I pass.
Thank you so much, Janice K. And again, my apologies. We'll now have Amy N. will share with us, followed by Ann B. Good morning, Amy.
Hey, this is Amy N. in Cleveland, Ohio. Thank you so much for your service. This is just such an awesome paragraph. It reminds me of how I felt when I came into the rooms and realized that food really was my master. I got to the point that I could no longer imagine life with the food anymore or without. And that was the most frightening place for me to be. And I actually, when I came in the rooms, I was pretty much a normal weight. I had just done this crazy diet of like a straight liquid thing for almost a month. And I realized I was terrified to start eating again because I knew I would put back on the weight. And once I finally, of course, I started eating again and ended up having the worst binge of my life. And I felt completely crazy and hopeless. And when I finally was willing to admit that I was powerless, it was the most terrifying thing I had ever done at that point, because I thought as soon as I stop fighting against the food, I will literally gain 300 pounds overnight. Like, that was truly my thought. Like, it will just skyrocket out of control. I have to have a tight grip on the food. And the amazing thing was that as soon as I finally was willing to admit I was powerless and ran like hell through the steps, as my sponsor would say, it was freedom, because I was trying to control something that I couldn't control. And somehow the more that I focused on my program, the more food actually fell into place. And it's just, program to me is like learning how to live. I felt like I almost was like living upside down my entire life and thought that I was right side up. And so the Big Book has become the guide for me that I feel like I missed my entire life, that I was trying to find, that I thought everybody else had gotten, and somehow I had missed out on that day in school. So I'm just so grateful for everyone here and for this meeting, and I will pass.
Thank you so much, Amy N. And now we'll have Ann B. followed by Lauren H. And if you could tell us where you're calling from, that'd be wonderful. Good morning, Ann.
Hi. This is Ann B., compulsive overeater, calling in from New Hampshire. I don't like that word, recovered, but I have been abstinent for 15 years. And I think that, you know, this hit bottom experience is very important for me, because it's only when I can sufficiently recollect that experience that I can pray with the desperation of the damned, which is necessary in order to get the response from my higher power that takes away the cravings. And for me, I had realized I was a food addict many years before I entered program, but the part I didn't understand was the progressive nature of the disease and that it's fatal and hopeless. And so I was gaining weight. My ex was gaining weight. It wasn't until, and you know, two chubby people, we kind of enabled each other. And it wasn't until he moved out that, and I saw, you know, I weighed 190. I hadn't weighed that since I was 9 months pregnant, and now I was no longer pregnant. And I, that I started getting that really that hit bottom feeling. And I was in program for about 2 weeks when I started hearing about the role of resentment and fear in addiction. And I came to understand that resentment and fear had destroyed my marriage, and that the syndrome surrounding compulsive overeating that both my ex and I suffered from was going to prevent me from having any meaningful relationships in my life for the rest of my life unless I did something about it. And so for me, although I came in for the vanity thinking, oh, I'll never find another man if I don't lose this weight, I stayed for the sanity in that I realized that those resentments and fears, which I was also powerless over, were what were really destroying my life, not the weight. And I that sense of my higher power helping me escape from those is really what makes me happier, and really what gives me that sense of, you know, serenity. And the weight loss, and I have been maintaining approximately 45 pound weight loss for 15 years, that's just a symptom of the syndrome. And it was really the syndrome that was making me miserable. And so I'll pass.
Thank you. And B. And now we'll have Lauren H. share with us, and then we'll open up the lines for more people who would like to share. Good morning, Lauren, and if you'd tell us where you're from, please.
Hi, this is Lauren H. from Los Angeles. Good morning, recovered bulimic, compulsive overeater and bulimic. Thanks to all that do service at this meeting. Appreciate that. Such a gift each morning to listen. Yeah, I really hear quicksand. And I really relate to that. And I was drowning. I was in that quicksand. And when I came into OA, the program OA, three and a half years ago, what happened was my mom was diagnosed with cancer, my best friend. And yeah, like a previous fellow said, the fear loomed. And I got in that quicksand. And I was drowning. And even though I was a compulsive overeater and bulimic for 20 years, all of a sudden I'm in the quicksand fast. I have a life beautiful and I love, but I can't get out of the addiction and the hell. And then what happened was my mom died 3 years ago. And although I had lots and lots, I've done the steps, not 3 years ago, earlier this year during coronavirus, even though I've done the steps and I've done the work and I have thoughts of neutrality, I didn't have entire abstinence. I didn't know how to do that, what that was. And so I started to drown again. The food found me and I binged for 3 days. And I couldn't get out. And even though I have this beautiful life, and there's like a raft, my raft had popped. And that the next passage later in the book that talks about the loving hand of God as I'm drowning, I grasped that flimsy reed from a fellow in vision who, you know, helped me with God find that fear. I was still holding on to fear, even though God was a big part of my life. I wasn't giving it all to God. I was still holding on to fear. And I had a spiritual experience where I was walking my dog and I let go of a big, heavy, beautiful velvet cape of fear. And I just said, I just dropped it. It was a cape and I was walking and I said, God, you can have this. And the next day at the ocean, I now that I reflect back, I kind of baptized myself in the water. I said, God, your fear. And since then, I've called myself recovered. I didn't call myself recovered at first because I didn't quite know. But since then, my perspective has totally changed as I've done this work. And I followed every single word that I possibly can in the big book and really was open-minded and honest and willing as I started this program. So, yeah, that I'm no longer in the quicksand. Yeah, thank you for today. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Lauren H. And now we'll open up the lines. Although we do value your experience, we ask that you share, that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Carrie G.
Was that Carrie G?
Correct. Thank you.
Very good.
Kim T. Yes.
And we'll take one more.
Jane A.
Okay.
Amy. Yes.
We're going to have to cut it off there. Sorry about that. Please come back tomorrow. We're going to start with Carrie G. and followed by Kim T. So good morning, Carrie G. And if you could tell us what state or country you're calling from.
Hi, this is Carrie G., recovered in Colorado, and God just really placed it on my heart this morning to share this. The first time I ever heard this paragraph read was 4 years ago at a conference, an OA conference of a big book study, and the woman who shared this always talks about that first beautiful bite, that I needed every beautiful bite to get to this place of horror, remorse, and fear, and the quicksand is stretching around us in all directions. And if it weren't for that foundation of that conference of a Vision for You member coming to Colorado to share his experience, strength, and hope, I don't think that I would have opened my heart to the directions in the big book the way that I have these last 4 years. And I'm just so grateful for all of the work that goes in to the podcast. And if you're struggling, that's like the biggest foundation I could recommend. Just like I had to pour over the podcast again and again and again and be reborn in my mind just by listening to the recovery on this line. And so I guess I just really want to be, just stay, you know, stay in this book. If you're struggling, here's this paragraph saying, you know, how dark it is before the dawn. Here Bill is, he's at his lowest point. He's admitting complete defeat. He's a broken man. He is stumbling along to a miserable end. And, you know, upon that foundation of complete willingness, that is how Bill is going to turn and use like the all these beautiful bites as research to see how completely hopeless and powerless in step one he is. So if you are struggling, it's just one day at a time, and my heart pours out to you, and just know that you can do this. You can get recovered too. Thanks so much, and with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Carrie G. And now we'll have Kim T. share with us, followed by Jane.
Thank you, moderator, Dawn. This is Kim T., also in Colorado, compulsive overeater. I'm in quicksand, and I had heard, it's not in the paragraph, somebody shared talked about Bill's pride and his ego, and my pride and my ego are just massive right now, and they have been completely destructive to me, and I'm also just learning more and more about my, some of the mistakes that I make. Like, this is just in my work. And I immediately want to make an excuse for why I make those mistakes, made those mistakes. Because it's crushing my pride and crushing my ego. Anyway, and then I crush myself after I hear about those or discover those. And then I just start beating the hell out of myself and have a tremendous amount of self-pity. And then I just have been turning to the food for about the last month and a half. And where has that gotten me? And so I'm terrified to be talking right now because I want to say I don't know what to do, but I do know what to do. I know to get into the work. I know to get into the steps and to reach out to my fellows and most importantly to reach out to God. But I'm terrified. I'm scared. And I feel like, I don't know. Well, I don't know how I feel right now because I'm, you know, because I'm so cloudy. At least today, you know, it's 8:46 in the morning here, and I've had an excellent breakfast. So I'll go with that for right now. I'll go with one meal at a time, one step at a time. And I just appreciate everyone who is on the line and everyone who has shared their experience, strength, and hope. Thank you.
Don, we can't hear you.
I'm so sorry. I was muted there. Jane will now have you share. If you could give us the first initial of your last name, that would be great.
Yes. Hi, everyone. My name is Jane. Jane A. It's Jane with a Y, J-A-Y-N-E, from California. I'm nervous. This is my first time sharing. But I just wanted to say I'm so grateful to be in Vision and the word quicksand. For me, it's like spiritual quicksand, physical quicksand, mental quicksand is where this disease takes me. And I'm struggling right now. I came to Vision. I started working with a new sponsor a month ago, and who's incredible. She's like my dream sponsor. But I'm, you know, I thought I was doing it right and everything, and then I'm still struggling with just a couple of items and these words, entire abstinence. And it's so humbling. I heard someone share yesterday that every morning, inevitably they have to remove one blueberry from their cup when they weigh, you know, and they've done that for years and they're 50 years old and here they are having to remove one blueberry from their oatmeal, and how humbling. And I'm just realizing that this disease is, it's nothing to mess with and it's nothing for me to try to control, manipulate and manage. And I'm such a people pleaser. I've been terrified to let my sponsor down, but I had to come clean with her yesterday and just say, like, I don't think I'm entirely abstinent and this sucks. And yesterday when we were reading in the book, you know, Bill had still had a few paragraphs left in him. And that terrifies me too, because, you know, I looked at the beginning page of my big book and I have 60 different modalities that I've tried to control and manage. And I'm just like, really, God? Like, I have more paragraphs left in me, for lack of better words. And I think that's up to me and higher power. And I'm just on my knees. And, like, this disease is so cunning, baffling, and powerful. And I just want to put the ball down now. Like, I just want to put it down and walk away from the game and do it God's way. But I know frothy emotional appeal gets me nowhere. And it has to be an inner conceit. And I'm just like, I cried on my couch last night, just crying. Like, it's just so humbling seeing where I end and God begins. So, yeah, I'm struggling with gum right now. I'm just going to be honest. So it sounds so futile or so small compared to where I used to be with the food. But it's keeping me in my head and not in my heart. So I would love outreach. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Jane K., and what a beautiful way to end the meeting this morning. Thank you to everyone who shared. It was a beautiful meeting. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I would like to now have Nadia please read page 164.
Sure thing. Thank you, Dawn. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answer will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God, to him and to your fellow. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as we cross the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until